All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
The last Tuesday. Can you believe it? Man, you made it. You made it. I mean, by the Lord's grace, you have made it. Your final Tuesday. What will you do next Tuesday? Sleep. Just sleep the rest of your life away, right? Some of y'all right now got some righteous ambitions. You're like, oh, I'm going to keep getting up, man. I'm going to keep up with the work. Let me just say, man, we've heard it for 11, 12 years, man. No. Nope. Go back to your slothful ways. Oh, man. My goodness. My goodness. Well, we're going to dive in here this morning. Y'all want to get reviewed a little bit for this thing called a residency test you got to take? At least give you some thoughts, at least on my portion, what you might need to know. And we'll take a little sneak peek at next year as well, and then some final words for you. But Pastor Elliot, will you pray for us this morning?
Choose to live his life so that others can see who you really are. And we so appreciate him, Father. We thank you for the love that you put in his heart, his mind, his soul, and his spirit, Father. And that he continue to be blessed by you so that he may be a blessing to all that cross his path. And with all the young men and women in here this morning, Father, we're just so grateful that they are stepping out on a path and have a mindset to want to be pleasing in your eyesight. Father, I know that anytime one of your children get in their rightful place, that you are there with them and that they will accomplish what you want them to accomplish because their hearts are right for you. So, Father, I ask that you give them a mighty blessing all the days of their lives. Bless their entire lives. Help them to see further down the road what it is that you would have for them to do with the rest of their lives. And hopefully, Father, that it will give you praise, honor, and glory in all that they think and say and do. Thank you for this class. And thank you, Father, for encouraging me to keep on doing what you called me to do. Because I see so many young men and women here that are faithful and coming to this class and faithful and wanting to learn more about you. So, Father, now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that everything that you said and done will come to pass in each one of our lives and that they will be stronger and more willing to be obedient to your word. And, Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory with that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. You might want some notes, take notes with paper, something in case, unless you're ready to go. Who's got the first final? Like, I want to know who's got their proctor set up like it's happening.
Wednesday the
20th. Anybody beat that? All right, Ashley Ray, you're gonna lead the way. You're gonna lead the way. Show us how it's done. 200 people have taken this test. About 3 have passed it, so don't worry. You're great. You're fine. Not a problem at all. Not a problem at all. Here's some things you might want to know. All right. Hypothetically, these could be on the test. Hypothetically, I may actually have the test with me right here. Hypothetically. And hypothetically, I might be willing to auction this when we're done, all right, to the highest bidder, all right? Kevin, don't raise your hand unless you have any money. Oh, no, there's a reserve on this thing. Ah, Let's start with the book of Acts, shall we? Only got two that we covered together. Book of Acts. You might want to know what the theme verse is for the book of Acts. What serves as the, in a sense, the outline verse of the book of Acts? You might want to know that. Anybody know what it is? I'm not telling you the answers. All right. You might know that. You might want to know what are the primary movements of this book. And again, this is an oral exam. I'm not looking for canned answers. You got room to think on this, all right? I've given your proctor some general lanes that are in there. So I'm not looking that you like say what Shay wants you to say necessarily, but I'm looking to see that you understand how this thing's put together. So some of the primary movements of the book, that could be the Acts 1:8 outline, potentially. Could be that. It could be understanding some of the geographical mindsets. Is when we had you chart this book and you had to kind of understand the movement of how this thing flows. Where are we at in the first seven chapters? Where are we at in the next four chapters? And then where are we at in the chapters under that? Those are things you might want to know and be able to understand. You might want to be familiar with the nature of signs, miracles, and wonders. Certainly the Lord is doing them today as well, but what were the primary purposes? Why do we see these take place? What are they seeking to validate over and over and over in the book of Acts? You might want to know that. You might want to be familiar just with tongues. What do we understand the gift of tongues to be in the book of Acts? And I recognize there may be still different theological convictions. But biblically speaking, what are these things that we see take place in Acts chapter 2 and following? And what are some other biblical passages that might support that view and the use of them? And in other words, what are tongues? What were the context that they were used in for? It'd probably be good to know just some of the, if you were to list some of the characteristics of the early church, what were they known for? What were some of the things that the early church centered themselves around? Probably be good. What caused the church to scatter? And where did that happen? We used also an acronym for persecution in the early church. Anybody remember what that stood for? That hypothetically might be something we talked about. How did the early apostles take care of internal problem they had with certain widows being neglected? What was the solution that they came up with, and what's that about? I might want to know that. And it's also helpful to understand what chapters these are in. What chapters these are in. So if I were to talk about widows being neglected and the solution that was done, what chapter are we looking at where that happened? So not just knowing what happened, but knowing where in the book of Acts this took place is going to be helpful for you. Will go well with you. Anybody know the first apostle that was martyred according to the book of Acts?
Stephen.
No, y'all just failed all of that. I said, do you know the first apostle that was martyred? I did not say the first deacon. Thank you. Scott knows that. I saw him wording it. Ask him later. Yes, and you might want to know what chapter that's in. You might want to know what was the purpose of God giving Peter a vision in Acts chapter 10. What was the purpose of that vision? Where did it land him? Also, a real big one. You might want to be familiar about the Jerusalem Council. What was the Jerusalem Council? When did it take place in the book of Acts, or where do we see it, and what did it seek to resolve? It could be big. You might want to be familiar with Saul's conversion and maybe where that happened, what was going on. When it comes to the missionary journeys, again, I simply gave you some acronyms that would help you to remember the key places. You might want to recall what those were. So, first missionary journey. Anybody know? Oh, drop it like it's hot, Asher Ray, all right? Yeah. What epistle did the Apostle Paul write when he returned from his first missionary journey? Might be good to know. What else would be helpful for you? Might be good also just to know, in general, what was the general time span that the book of Acts covers? About how many years? Might be good to know. No, I don't really need dates. Just curious the time span. What are we looking at when one were to look at the book of Acts? Yeah. And it might be good just to reason out also, what are some of the common reasons that certain cults or skewed denominational views might misinterpret the book of Acts? Why? Why is that possible? More of an understanding of how the book of Acts is being written. So some good survey of the book of Acts. Epistles that were written based on missionary journeys would be good. Just the primary movements of the book of Acts are going to be important for you to know. What was this thing about? Why do we have this book? Why is it in front of us? What does God want us to see? Why is this important? Those are some questions that might be helpful. And again, I'm not looking for anything crazy other than just that you have an understanding about this book. You can palm this book, so to speak. If you were to walk somebody, you were to take another disciple and walk him through the book of Acts, you have some general understanding of how this book is put together, what its primary movements are, what the purpose of God was in this thing, what are we seeing happening, and ultimately, its implications for you. So, those are a few things I'll give you for the book of Acts that I think might help you. You've got about 21 questions on the book of Acts. How about Romans? How about Romans? Anybody know the theme verse that we've used for the book of Romans? Come on, 1:16. Come on, I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. Not ashamed. You might need to be able to quote it. What are the primary movements of this book? Again, I've given you just a general understanding. I know this, you can come up with your own. But in general, what are those movements we're seeing? What are those Legos that are being stacked in the book of Romans? Right? Chapters 1 through 3, 3 through 5. What are the arguments that are being presented and understood in those sections? I'm curious to know your understanding of what natural revelation is, and where would you turn in the book of Romans to defend it? I'm also curious for your understanding of what total depravity is and where you would turn in the book of Romans to defend it. I'm also curious to know what your understanding of being justified by faith is And this one is where I'm going to get a little pickier. I want to know that you know the gospel. I want to know that you can articulate the gospel. What is justification by faith, and where would you turn in the book of Romans to articulate that? And then I'm also curious that you understand the general idea of election. Again, whether you are landing there, how would you understand election, biblically speaking, from what we see in the book of Romans, and where would you turn to explain it? And then I'm going to have a series of questions where I want to know that you know what chapter these things are in, such as freedom from the power of sin, where you would turn to handle amoral issues, maybe God's future dealings with Jews, sanctification in general, maybe an understanding of the Christian under civil authority. Where might you go for that? A couple things, so just being familiar with some of those chapters, knowing where they are. I argue that there's a common question that the world seems to always ask concerning God and his purposes, but it is not the question that the Bible asks. What is the central question that the book of Romans is asking that man is so unwilling to ask? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? And how would you explain that? So, again, I'm looking at questions revolving around the core nature of the gospel, right? And I won't say this maybe exactly on the test, but just thinking out loud here, what's the one thing that we don't have that God says we need according to Romans 1:16 and 17? What is it we don't have in our own? Righteousness, right? The word righteous or righteousness is synonymous with what we would call our understanding and need for the gospel, right? It's the one thing, according to Romans 1:16 and 17, that we don't have, and we cannot produce on our own. So how does God get us his righteousness? How does he do that? How does that even work itself out? And the main thing that I want from you, above any sort of just test knowledge here, is just a working understanding and application of the gospel. And again, we mentioned it before, every time we get a chance to sit down with somebody here, whether it's walking them through their baptism or walking through an understanding of what the church is and hearing their testimony, so few Christians have an ability to articulate their own faith, to articulate the nature of the gospel that has saved them, to articulate their deficiency of the righteousness of God and how that righteousness was given to them. I hear all kinds of stories about, I was born a Christian, not true. I hear all kinds of stories about, I grew up, my parents are Christians, and I hear so little of an understanding of what God has done to reconcile us to himself, and that being the chief identity of who we are, and how to, and a lot of those cases, I'm not talking about people who I genuinely believe aren't saved. I'm looking at some people who I genuinely believe they are trusting in Jesus, but they haven't learned to articulate it. And if you don't know how to articulate it, I know you're not sharing it. I mean, at the very least, you're not sharing it. Because if you can't explain it to me, you can't explain it yourself, you can't explain it to somebody else who needs to understand the nature of their sin and what Jesus Christ has done about that. And so a lot of the questions in the book of Romans are hitting on those different facets of that diamond that we talked about that all make up the gospel. And it's important just to have a grip on that, all right? So I believe you got about 12 questions on Romans, what you're going to play with. So, just a little help there. It's not everything, but a little help. Give you a little boost. all right, what you need to be thinking about. Don't sweat. Honestly, my card's on the table. What's that?
Only 12 questions?
Maybe.
What's that about?
For the rest of the class. For you, Buck, there's a whole different test to decide. Yeah, you might want to study up for that. Let me say this. I mean, to be honest with you, I really don't even care about a test. I know we've used one for 11 years here, and certainly it's a way of assessing some things, but I don't care. I remember a prof of mine by the name of Howard Hendricks in seminary who just said, listen, your test is life.
Yes, sir.
Your test is life.
Yes, sir.
He would say, your test is 20 years from now when I run into you on a street somewhere and we get to talking. And understand, man, who you've been pouring into. What disciples have you been making? How's God being glorified and exalted in your life? How are you making known his glory to the nations? You know, how are you abiding and walking by his word through his spirit's power? That's the test. This is, I guess, some token of assessment that you weren't sleeping. I guess we're going to find out who snoozed. I mean, you know, worst case. And I realize some of y'all are like freak out test anxiety folks. Don't. It's open Bible. Good gosh. You're going to be fine. I am more concerned about how this is going to play itself in life. If you can remember back 246 days ago, the day we started this program. That first day, we laid out what the intention and the heart behind this residency was all about. And we mentioned the following expectations, and I'm going to reread some of that which I spoke to you that first day. That the heart behind this program, first and foremost, is that we might know God better through his word and walk with him more intimately. Being equipped to fulfill the work of ministry that he has called us and saved us for. You've heard these little adages before, but it's one thing to know the word of God and a whole other thing to know the God of the word. There is a dangerous thing that we can get into that I call bibliolatry, and that is when we fall in love with the word of God as an end. And do not, as a result of our time in the Word, bring us closer to the God of the Word. That's the hope in this thing. It's not just that you would know God's Bible. That's part of that, but that's a means to a greater end. And that is a greater abiding dependency, awareness, intimate connection with Almighty God, our Father. And to know that he is not voiceless. He has spoken to us. He has given his word right in front of us. We have it in pen and ink, the very voice of God, the God-breathed word, so that we might be able to understand who he is, his incredible grace that has been given to us through his provision in Jesus Christ, that word might literally be the governing voice over our lives against the voices that are trying to compete with him. And that we might walk more intimately with him. That was the hope from the very beginning. And we laid out the pattern for us according to Ezra 7, 8, and 10, right? That Ezra, here the scribe, travels 900 miles from his place of bondage, set free, heads back to Jerusalem, 900 miles, goes to extraordinary lengths so that he could study, he could practice, and he could teach the word of God. We said that's what we wanted to see happen here. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a little sliver. But that by the time this thing is done, we would be more effectively able to study God's word, to know his word, to then practice his word, that is to apply it in our lives, and that we might go out and we might teach it. That we might take what we've learned, take the relationship with Christ that we are hopefully stronger in by his power, and then go out and reproduce it into the lives of others. That's what we're here for. And by the time this thing is done, by the time you get to Friday, you will have over 200 hours poured into your life in this thing by the time it's done. I'm going to tell you right now, and this is no exaggeration, in terms of knowledge, at least for those that paid attention, you'll have more knowledge of your Bible than 90% of the pastors in this world. I'm not kidding on that. If you go out in the mission field, you start engaging out there, you realize what an anomaly we have it over here in the West when you look at the rest of this planet. And I'm not talking just the saints that are out there, the pastors that are out there teaching, and the resources that they have often been so underprivileged to receive. You'll know more than 90% of those guys. It's just in knowledge when this thing is done. But the question I have is, for what? For what? To be smarter? You know? Have more tabs in your Bible? You know? Come up with some, ooh, whiffed. That's awesome. Really? You know? What for? Why all this? And I'm haunted over and over in a good way by the Lord's words in Luke chapter 12, to whom much is given, much will be required. To whom much entrusted, much will be demanded.
Yes, sir.
So the goal is not just knowing it. The goal is knowing what to do with it.
Amen.
How do I apply this in my own life? How is my intimacy with Christ more enhanced, more robust? I remember going through seminary, and I had a professor that really challenged, I think, a common worldview. All the time there were surveys done in seminary, you know, what was good, what was bad. And one of the most common things is that people would say seminary robbed my devotional life with the Lord. And so many people would say that. And I remember I had a prof going, so at what point did we separate study from devotion? Like, at what point did, like, writing a paper for a class or charting a book for class not be devotion? Like, that's the dualistic mindset that we always try to create in our own flesh. This is academia, and this is, like, for head knowledge. Oh, and over here, this 15 minutes over here, that's where it's just really date with Jesus, right? Like, this whole thing is devotion, man.
Yeah.
This is the Word of God we've been studying. This is the counsel of our God. Like, at what point is this not devotional? And so the end is not just getting some head academic knowledge. It's literally that we might really enter into that relationship that he so longs with us. And knowledge is a piece of that. I said before, I can't enjoy intimacy with my wife apart from knowledge of her and she with me. There is an understanding of one another that we have and have had since day one, 15 years in and going, that we still are gleaning from one another.
Yeah.
Right? That knowledge is not a bad thing. That knowledge is a means to a greater end for us in our covenant. And the same is true with God. That being said, I know some of you in here are wanting to keep this class going. Some of you are ready for this thing to end. Like a dead dog, you're ready to put the sucker down. I get it. Some of you want to keep going. Every year we go, hey, can there be 2.0? Like, can we go to year 2 on this thing? Right? We ain't even got the prophets, man. There's some of you that are probably in that camp, and that's good, to be honest with you. When I talk with folks about that, I mean, it shows your desire to want to continue to keep growing, keep learning, keep abiding. And there's certainly of plenty of other opportunities out there. I'm going to share a few here in just a bit that you can take advantage of. But I want you to know that's also very dangerous. It can also be dangerous depending on your heart, because there can be a cocooning effect in programs like these, that with a wrongly motivated heart can become a dangerous thing to an individual. I think some of y'all would probably love just to stay under this fountain or stay under this like a warm blanket for the rest of your lives. It's the same reason why so many Western churches want to jump into, you know, 4 different things a week. I'm going to be in 2 different studies, and I'm gonna go take this class and this program, this potluck, and I'm going to do all this stuff. And it's good, and it's, but it can be addictive. So just be careful, because that temptation, if your heart's bent that way, again, with a wrongly motivated heart, it's not about the thing itself that's wrong. It's our hearts that are wicked, right? Jeremiah 17:9. Heart is deceitful above all things. It can be. The danger becomes is that that can turn us into mules and not thoroughbreds. You remember we talked about that even day one? What is a mule? A mule is it's an animal that cannot reproduce. It just literally genetically cannot reproduce. It is a one and done life. And I think sometimes we get at this banquet table of resourcing and input. It's good, but if not careful, we can cocoon ourselves and this become a mule thing where it's just all about us and we just turn into these spiritually gluttonous individuals, right? Who give nothing away. Who give nothing away. God's desire, man, is to turn us into those kind of thoroughbreds where his power might be demonstrated through us to go and to make disciples. And, you know, we use the illustration as well. Maybe even Mike talked about it as well, just the nature of the Dead Sea. And you go over to Israel and you see this cool thing. You float on it. You know, it's 33% salt compared to 3% in the ocean. And you're just floating on it. But you got all this beautiful, mighty rushing waters, at least used to be, in the Jordan River coming down from the Galilee. And then it just ends in this thing and dies. And nothing can grow in it. It's just this cesspool of minerals that nothing can grow in there. And that's a tragic picture of the Christian life. Somebody that has all these inlets but has no outlets, right? And you and I are going to have to resist the temptation to cocoon. We're going to have to resist the temptation to turn inward and think the only way that you and I can grow is just to simply saturate ourselves in programs and live there the rest of our days without going and giving it away to those who need it. So my question for you is what difference is this program going to make in your life? Like, how has this aided you in your relationship with Christ? How are you seeing this practice, what you've learned and what God is opening your eyes to and your heart to? Have you seen practice in your life? And what are your intentions to go give this away? You know? Who, for you fellas, who are your men out there? We talked about having a Paul and a Barnabas and a Timothy. I am curious who your Timothy is. Like, will this just end with you? Or will there be a further discipling of others? You know, in this, and who is this? And you ladies, who are your women? You know, who are the ones that you can go invest in? Who are the ladies? Who's the next generation of ladies that you're pouring into? You know, that you're getting a shape and help train towards godliness in Christ Jesus. Did I tell you all the story? I may have told you. When I was being discipled early on, Brad Bell was a key piece of that in Denton, Texas. Just a couple years ahead of me, but was teaching me everything that he was learning. And I walked with him for about 3 years, and I'll never forget the breakup speech he had. Did I tell y'all about this? When he took me out to a restaurant, took me and Mike and a couple other guys he's walking with, and he's like, man, pardon the graphic nature here. So you got to get off the nipple. I was like, excuse me? What did you just say? That's gross. And his point was, man, you've been bottle fed for 3 years. It's time to get off. It's time that you start giving this thing away. Horrible mental image, but the point is some of y'all literally will just sit and nurse, and it's the reason why the author of Hebrews says, by this time you should be eating solid food, but you're in need of milk all over again. You know? And so there is this expectation, there is this desire, there is this purpose of the Holy Spirit to raise us up, that we wouldn't just be spiritual infants our entire life, but take what he's resourcing us with and go give it away. And go give it away. You, as Dawson Trotman said, huge dude with the Navigators back in the day, you and I were born to reproduce. We were born again to reproduce. And Paul said it in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Did you get that? I taught you. Now you go teach somebody else. Right? And that's what we've been called to do. So go reproduce. I am curious, just a little bit of feedback, and this will be helpful, and you can give both the positive and the negative, just your experiences here this past year. What were some of the things? I'm just curious, maybe in terms of studying, applying, teaching, I mean, in those little elements there, what has the Lord done? What's he been showing you? How has he used this year to affect you? Anybody want to share?
In seminary, so when they say it's a seminary level course, they actually, like, while they're in seminary, they're like, we could be teaching our Bible classes because of residency. So I feel like we are trained not only more than 90% of, like, pastors in the world, but even more than that in the United States, of guys who have, or and women who have gone to seminary. And so I feel like that responsibility is even more huge on us. Like, three quarters of the way through, I was able to test out of Bible classes because of residency. So, like, in seminary, which is, like, kind of ridiculous.
Well, it's either a good thing or Western's bar is just super low. Super low.
But just for us to recognize, like, the knowledge that we're receiving here is, I think, way greater than we could ever imagine. Unless we were in that kind of a situation, first of all. And then secondly, back on what you said, I think for me, what I've realized is that in order to grow, I have to teach it to other people. Mm. And that's the way God has made us, mm-hmm. is to love others, to disciple them, and to teach them. And the only way that we grow is to teach them. So if we think we're gonna be able to sit somewhere and just gain this knowledge, and we're really going to go to here knowledge-wise, but going out and teaching it, I think that's great. Like, get off the nipple, go. Like, go teach, because you're actually going to grow exponentially more. And if you don't even have one person in your life, like, you're blowing it. Like, you're losing, is in my view. Like, you're losing out, not only on teaching them, but on yourself as well. Understanding who God is and his grace for us and his love for us and all of the truths in his word, like, those things come to you because you have to explain them in an elementary way to someone who doesn't know anything. So I feel like for us to be able to go out to recognize, gosh, this is the knowledge I have, and then to go out and give that to someone else, like, we're cheating them and we're cheating ourselves. I personally have seen, just like being involved in student ministry, what a great way to dive into someone's life. Like, whether it's at this church, whether it's at any other church you're at, there are students who want to be discipled. It's not like we have to go and, like, we have to go to some magical place to find people who want to be discipled. They're, like, right under our noses. So, like, wherever you go, I mean, if you just find one student, I know whatever youth pastor that you're around, they're going to be so excited because you found that one student and you're diving in and discipling them. Like, it's not like we have to do anything special. So that's my plug for youth ministry.
Get it. Get it. Thanks, Jeremiah. Any other ways has the Lord shown you in this year? Yeah.
I know. I mean, I had read the Bible at least once through and tried to read it again. But I was just reading it. And I know coming here, I felt like I was actually studying it. And it just came alive for me, going line by line. And you guys are such a wealth of information and knowledge that I'm so thankful that you guys offered this and allowed us to come in and learn this, because it really did do a lot.
Good. Glad you're part of it. Any other ways? How are you going to be different? Yeah.
See the nature of God and the person of God and all of that, not
It's huge. I think to that point, you know, what I hope you see is the grand narrative of the Bible. They're not just these isolated, we teach these little isolated stories, you know, out of their context. The whole thing is about redemption. I mean, the whole thing is God's reconciling purposes from generation past to generation future, and how God is redeeming and reconciling a broken world. And yeah, you can see some of those bloody non-Sunday school versions, but how God is even in the business of redemption in those, pointing to Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Something that I just thought was like really cool, especially with like the girls in my life group, most of them have grown up with the New Testament and they've never really like examined the Old Testament because it was always stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my group of girls, a lot of them are like English majors, and so it's been kind of cool to see like, okay, Genesis 3:15 is your thesis statement, and then the rest of this is a love letter from God. And then walking through like, hey, God's in Leviticus, and he's in Numbers, and he's in like every aspect of this. And just seeing like the light bulb come on, because it all makes sense now. Like it's all the Bible, it's all God's word. And just like walking through those stories with them and being able to connect the dots in Matthew and be like, that's in the Old Testament too. And this was prophesied then, and it was fulfilled later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all connected, and it broadens their understanding of, like, oh, it wasn't just, like, this random dude who came on the spot. Like, God had it planned in the very beginning, like, before the foundations of the earth. And now I see it in Genesis,
mm-hmm.
and I see it in Leviticus. And just being able to teach them, and, I mean, instead of being like, oh, and this is, like, your concordance, and these are all the different verses, and using big words like sanctification, and they're like, what does that mean? Like, being able to simplify it and just be like, oh, well, this is how, you know, this is what the gospel is, and this is how we can validate it, this is how we can trust that our faith is real, that it's not just like something that someone just made up one day, like, this is how we know it's true. And I think that's been something that's been really cool for my girls, because they've never been like, oh, let's stick to the word of God. It's like, let's flow with grace, like whatever we feel. And I'm like, no, like it's rooted in truth. So, I mean, that's been really cool for us.
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
Cool. Spencer, what do you say, bro?
I just want to say first, I love everybody.
Jason needs a hug, everybody. He needs a hug after the
you. Know, just coming from a very charismatic kind of Pentecostal background.
Yeah.
They won't read the next one and the next one. But it all tells itself. Like, even when we were in Romans 5, they always use the scripture, like, call those things as though they, like, oh, we need to speak it. But when I looked at the text, it's like, it all explains, and then it goes back to Genesis. And so, even allowing my dad to come to
that's cool.
learn Romans, I mean, I think that was a huge thing. So for me, it's a lot of context. Like, even with tongues, I think that argument is proven the three times that it's mentioned and how and why. It's just, it helped me to see a lot of things for you. This is what the Bible is saying.
Hmm. Cool, man. Anybody else? Some of the Lord's just showing you, working you over this year. Yeah.
I think the cool thing for me is that, we've learned about some pretty deep theological issues in this class. And I teach fifth and sixth graders on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we kind of do a life group, kind of mini life group little discussion after our Wednesday night kind of fun and game part of it. And after some of the things that we'll go through in 5:16, where we're teaching, you know, something out of the Old Testament, something that goes along with the, you know, theme of, you know, oh, be nice to other kids at school kind of deal, you know. I'll be in the middle of kind of running through a list of questions to ask them, and I'll realize I'm reiterating what I learned at residency that morning, or earlier that week, or 3 weeks before that. And that's kind of a cool realization that it helped me understand it, teaching it. So, like what Jeremiah was saying with you, but also kind of understanding that it doesn't matter how old you are, you can still understand how great God is in the deep theological issues. It doesn't have to be hard to understand.
That's right.
Like, fifth graders are totally grasping this stuff, and they're giving me answers, and I'm like, oh, man, kid, you just said it better than I ever could.
Absolutely.
So that was really cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. That's encouraging to hear. Yeah, you know, we've said it before, but the Word of God, the gospel itself, is shallow enough, as one theologian said, that a three-year-old can swim in it, even without floaties. And yet it's deep enough that 1,000 theologians can drown in it.
Yeah.
You know? That's the Word of God. That's what's so beautiful about it, you know? Any last things? I mean, yeah, Wayne, come on, brother. Give me something.
Profound, right?
Yes, profound.
I used to get, well, I still do, get people throwing verses at me, you know, singularly, you know, that you got to pay attention to Luke this. So what I learned is that doesn't mean anything to me unless I put it in context.
Hmm.
So I got to take that verse, put it back in the passage, and understand the whole pericope or the whole point of what was being said.
Yeah.
And once I understand that context, then I take that context and compare it to the rest of the Bible.
Yeah.
And then, even if I can't understand it then it's a mystery.
Yep.
Okay.
That's right on, man.
Or God reveals it to me. Deuteronomy 29.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Context. Context is everything. I mean, case in point, you don't have to look any further than Facebook or Instagram. What are we doing? We're taking snapshots out of people's life and we're ripping them out of context to give us what we think is a picture of what's happening there. We all know stuff's jacked up. Ain't nobody putting their jacked up stuff on there, you know? Myself included. We just want to put, hey, here's awesome. Here's awesome. Here's who I am, right? Oh, no. If we could just pull back that curtain and look at that little picture you just posted in context of this past week, we go, okay, we get a different theme that's going on here, right? Same thing with the Word of God. Love, just pull those suckers out. See? Oh, man. Pull it back. Pull it back. Tell me this. And, man, just TP of non-aggression over this room here. You got freedom. Umbrellas of mercy. What are some things you wished would have been in place? And understanding, okay, this is not like... This little 10-month window here isn't supposed to encompass your entire spiritual life. You know, like, if I don't come out here with a mate, then, man, this thing's just lost its purpose, you know, or something like that. But that being said, given what this program is and what its intention is for and the limited time that we have with, you know, 4 mornings, what are some ways that you'd love to see improved? Always, always looking for good feedback. It's going to be super helpful for future residents. Yeah.
One of the things that I think would be helpful is, you know, there are common themes throughout the entire scripture.
Yeah.
And I think that we could do a better job at kind of pointing out those themes to the entirety of scripture.
Yeah.
So from Genesis to Revelation, uh-huh. You know, whether it's, I don't know, covenants or, you know, the Messiah, I don't know, whatever. And as we're going through in each book, kind of saying, like, just kind of weaving a common thread between all of them.
Yeah.
More kind of succinctly, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it does happen a little bit, but it's not very, like...
Sure. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
That's good, man. What else? Don't be scared.
I would agree with him on that. Also, like, you know, I'm going to do this residency with Young Life, but I went through this 2 years ago, and in my time in between, you know, I've seen a lot more Christology or Christ in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, a type of Christ, a symbol of Christ that we would go over so quickly, obviously because of the amount of content, but I just, it makes my heart like just worship when I see Christ as a type,
yeah,
in the Old Testament that. Noah's Ark as deliverance, or things like that, is really
redemption
like
themes. Yeah,
you're taking a thread of Christ and just sewing it,
mm-hmm.
and just unifying it in a way that I think could be strengthened for next year.
That's good.
And also, there's no better way to retain what we're learning than to teach it, like it talked about in Timothy. And I think that there could be, you guys might hate me for saying this.
Never.
Because we're almost done. But I think that there should be more opportunities or challenges, demands for the residents to teach and have that happen more consistently.
Yep. Agree with you. What else? Yeah.
I also agree that maybe more times getting together either on the weekends or something like that or in the evening to do like a group teaching, like
mm-hmm.
getting in groups and everybody going around and teaching, doing a teaching on each chapter to help retain it a little bit.
So you guys teaching one another, is that what
right,
you're saying? Okay,
right.
Yeah.
Like breaking up in smaller
mm-hmm.
groups, you know, five people or something, and each person having to teach it at the end of each chapter.
Safe environment.
Right. So that we could help each other, critique each other, and, you know.
Love it.
I very much appreciated I hate homework, and it's no fun with school loads, but the homework that we had, having to chart the different things,
mm-hmm.
helped me understand so much more.
Yeah.
And I think that I can sit here under study and take a ton of notes, but until I can articulate it out myself,
that's right.
And having to teach somebody else the book or teach somebody else sections was a big deal. And so for me, I would have loved to have been required to chart every book that we went through.
It's great. It's good. I'll work with you this summer. You're gonna have it all done by the end of the summer. Anything else? Be helpful. Yeah, Kim.
I think it's important that it's not a Bible. The Bible's never important to finish. It's important to. So if it takes longer to go through a book to understand it,
yeah.
there's a lot of value in being able to do that.
Yep.
And so some overview after the book was finalized.
Yeah.
I love the speed and the depth, especially the video that we got. It was like Dr. Rick Zane about the teaching concepts of how the school was designed in the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
to help us understand the foundational, how they came up with these tools of education
mm-hmm.
has just helped feed a lot of that. Things like that, at least for me, were extremely helpful. So anyhow.
Yeah. Okay.
I have one more.
Yeah?
Not let Mike pick movies.
Not let Mike pick movies? Was that Exodus or Noah? What do y'all think?
Exodus.
Listen, Mike's a strange man. I've already told you his name's Shannon.
He came in that next week, man, and you can see
Don't
his.
Blame me.
Oh.
Elliot fell asleep in the movie. I kept having to elbow him. He kept
snoring. They got it wrong at the beginning. they got it wrong at the beginning. I was done, man. I was like, oh, man. I just.
That is so good. That's so good.
Elliot, stop snoring.
I'm out.
They got it wrong.
Yeah, Wayne.
I'm thinking in the beginning of things, there was no Old and New Testament. You know, there was just one testament.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that needs to be put out so we understand. I think just so I see out there in the public that because it's labeled old, it's no use anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So like when I'm talking to others, I use First Testament and Second Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get rid of that word.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Or the Hebrew scriptures, yeah.
Because we click onto those kind of things. Right?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Maybe just emphasize that in the beginning. If you did, you know, just keep it up.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Language.
Yeah.
Anything else? Yeah.
You know what really impressed my heart is that a chance for each individual to pray.
Yeah.
Because I've learned, man, it's good to know that the people that you're around are not ashamed to pray and talk to God.
That's right.
That is so important.
Come on, man.
And to hear all these young kids praying, man. Y'all know how many times I was in tears, man. I was just trying to hide it. Because I'm so grateful to see kids doing that. Because I'm having a hard time over there getting kids this age
mm-hmm.
to, you know, participate.
Yeah.
Because when I give away stuff, the church will be packed. But then the next week, if I don't get nothing away, you can hear an echo in there. And so this has been encouraging because I was, you know, starting this class, I was on the verge of, man, this is just 13 years, man. I'm just throwing it. And other churches, there's some people succeeding over there. It felt like I was failing, right? But, you know, the kids come through and they still come through and talk to me about stuff, but they still won't go to church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But during the week, they come through and they talk to me and stuff about what's going on and stuff. Just to see these young men and women get up early in the morning like that, man. And
mm-hmm.
just to say, hey, I'm making a commitment. I'm making a stand.
Yeah.
To do what God wants me to do. And I just want to encourage each individual. Man, you are fighting a battle that is definitely going to be won. And the more I realize that, you know, when God sent me here to take this, I was like, oh, man, it is a lot of young folks over here doing stuff. Man, just, and Shay them is young to me, so y'all know y'all.
Oh, thanks, bro.
But it's so encouraging, and it just helped me to keep on fighting the good fight of faith, you know.
Elliot,
I really appreciate this.
Oh, we love you, man. I'm waiting for somebody to make an app that just has your voice on it, like I just press little buttons. I'm going to miss that, man. Just somebody laughing. Just right there, I just hit that thing. Elliot, with
yes,
me
sir.
Always.
Yes, sir.
So affirming. Yes. You know, it's a tough shame because it's the residency I went through that we went through. I mean, we covered 48 books out of the 66, you know. And here, I mean, I hate that in like my portion of the New Testament we got two in this year. But I know I'd rather have those two done well than just these. And I mentioned at the beginning, you know, even in seminary, our Bible X classes, our Bible exposition classes, I mean, we covered Romans in a day, covered Leviticus in like 15 minutes, you know, it's all like these central themes. I have not found a place that just goes verse by verse by verse. The hard part is now hopefully what's been given to you, at least a lens. My goal in my teaching is that you would not only just receive the product of the teaching, you would see how I got there. So as we're going verse by verse, you can see how this connects with this one. And so it gives you at least a lens by which you can study the rest yourself. But that being said, is I hate that we are deprived from even covering all. I would love to hit all of them. I would love if you guys would be willing to get up at 2 in the morning, man, we would just get after it, all right? Some of y'all like, I'm out. But, you know, but yeah. I agree with you. Prophets, major piece. In fact, I will tell you, one of the best classes I did take at seminary was a class called The Preachers as Prophets. And it was like you going, man, I've never studied my Old Testament before this. That was for me. I'd never been able to dive into the prophets until I'd done that. And go, oh, my gosh, dude, you know. So, yeah. Yeah. That's good. We may figure something out. We may figure something out.
Is each residency the same?
No.
What about
as
if
I'm
a, like
as I'm about to show you? Yeah. As
so
I'm about to show you.
Setup.
Might we transition to the next thing then in this class? Let me real quick just show you where we're going. Just so you can weep with jealousy for next year. No. Let me at least show you some of the things we're trying to do. We're about to make switch. I'll tell you this. One of the things the well, and hopefully any church, wants to get better and better at is multiplication. Man, we want to multiply. We want to see the gospel go forth. We want to reach unto the nations. We want to I think the worst thing that sometimes a church can do is just focus on making its own splash versus being a church that's going to leave ripples. And I think one of the things we want to really begin getting very intentional with at the Well is more aggressive church planning, more intentionality in equipping and sending out long-term missionaries, in equipping and engaging our folks who are headed off to the marketplace for how to even use business as mission, and in general, make disciples. I mean, really make disciples. And so there's, for the Well, there's all kinds of wonderful things. I actually had the chance for the first time in, I don't know, a month and a half to sit down with Brad Bell last night, and he's on sabbatical right now, and his world has been getting rocked, and some amazing, just Holy Spirit oriented things are happening with him right now, so just really cool. But seeing even that further birth, this understanding what we want to do. We want to get intentional in doing that, and so we want to really put more concentrated juice into the training and the recruiting, the training, the equipping, the development, and the sending out of future leaders here in the church. And so one of the things I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be transitioning my role at the church. I'm going to begin to move away from my campus pastor role at FIG, and I'm actually going to give 100% of my time to this. So starting in the fall, I'm going to be giving all my focus to a number of things that we'll call, at least for now, a leadership development pipeline. And what was I going to say towards that end? Anyways, I'm going to start putting my efforts there. And one of the things I'll say about residency is, in all the years of residency, we've never had anybody just own residency. Mike has 10 hours with the church, and it's your residency. And that's kind of it, and doing his portion. And then I am a campus pastor who happens to teach residency. Jared's a campus pastor who happens to teach. Rick is in equipping who happens to teach. But nobody's really owns this. And so at least to give it the full amount of juice that's needed, and even walk. I mean, there's still some of the names in here I don't even know, right? Because I've got a whole flock over here I'm trying to shepherd as well. But to have concentrated, singular focus on this, I think that's why I'm so wanting to hear your feedback, because I think this may be probably the best season to really begin listening and implementing some new things and where we need to go to make these things more robust. That being said, we're creating a number of pathways. And again, our goal is not to create programs as an end to themselves, but as a means to an end. And ultimately, the goal is to make disciples. And there's organic on the ground ways in which we want to see that happen, very intentional. And then there's some more formalized ways. And my role is probably going to be certainly leaning more towards some formalized. So I want to show you some of the things we're going to be rolling out here this fall. You don't even know what you're clapping for. What are you doing? Gotta get done with this and go, really? That's the best you got? What we're going to do, and again, this is just here at the Well, but on the left-hand side are some opportunities that are going to start broad and then get narrow as we go forth. Right over here, we want to get better at just generalized equipping classes. Anybody that's been around the Well, I mean, you got all kinds of methodologies and philosophies with churches. Some churches are going to get super over-programmed. I got discipled in a church that had literally, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but literally had 185 different ministries in the church. 185, I counted them. I mean, if you love to ride Harleys under the name of Jesus, we have the ministry for you. If you love to sew prayer shawls, man, we got that. You got that quilting ministry going. If you yo-yos and Jesus, man, we love to get a yo-yo club. I mean, literally 185. The cool thing is, if you had some sort of hobby, we had an entrance for you, right? We had like an onboarding for you. But you know, one of the difficulties in highly programmed churches is you become about everything and then really become about nothing. And then you silo in 185 different churches. that are based upon some affinity and not necessarily the gospel. The other side of that, though, is probably where we've swung, and that's more of a simplistic model of, man, we want to stay lean and nimble, and we want to stay on mission. We don't want to get mission drift. And so we, you know, you have very reductionistic churches. And so we don't offer, you're not going to offer here a men's ministry or a women's ministry, or, you know, we don't even have a college ministry or anything like that. We just simply say, man, we're going to do life together, and we're going to try to disciple one another. We're going to go forward, and on a good day, maybe that's good. On a bad day, it's nebulous and not probably well-defined. But I know this. We want to get better, and we want to train well. And so on the broader side of things, for the entire church, we're going to continue to offer and even revamp some of our intentional equipping classes. These are not meant to be like take you away from life and this is all you do. They're supplemental equipping classes to help nourish you a bit. One primary one we've had at the Well is called Academy, and Rick Taylor teaches that. It's a 3-year cycle, 6 semesters. Very 30,000 foot view of what we would have seen here in residency. And so you're going to get all those surveys. So if you're looking for, man, here's how the Bible is strung together. Here's what worldview looks like. Here's how apologetics lines itself out. I mean, all these things, then Academy is going to give you that kind of 360 degree view. One of the ones we're going to add starting spring 2016 that will be offered every year at the Well is Perspectives. Perspective is a 4-month, 15-week class designed around helping us understand a biblical worldview of God's heart for the nations. And what has God been doing from eternity past to eternity present? I mean, what has God been doing in reconciling and redeeming a broken and lost world, right? And giving us that worldview of the nations, of God's work in the nations, and our specific responsibility as sent out ones unto the nations. And so Perspective is going to do that. There's going to be a number of other spiritual formation classes, you know, whether it be just some supplemental stuff for couples and marriages and singles and whatnot that are going to be, I think, brought online here starting this next year. That's that. We're starting something new. We're beta testing it this summer. And we'll probably officially launch it next summer. But right now it's up and running and it's handpicking. And we're going to take collegians, post-high school, through kind of mid to late 20s of young professionals, and we're going to launch what we call an emerging leaders program. And it's going to be, this summer is going to be 5 weeks, but probably in future summers it'll be anywhere from 6 to 8. And I can tell you this, from 17 years of college ministry, one of the lost redemptive opportunities we have is with collegians in the summer. It tends to be, for a lot of collegians, become some of the most wasted months ever. They're either going to, I don't know, maybe they'll jump on, maybe they need to take that summer class or whatnot, but maybe they're going to stay at home on mom's couch, play some video games during the summer. Maybe they're going to pick up that extra little side job because they just needed a little extra funds. Maybe they go work for a camp, and some camps do it well. Other camps are horrible in terms of using and whipping college students and not pouring into them. But in large, summers can go unredeemed. And we found, I mean, in all my years of college ministry, found summer to be a great time to equip and a great time to train and invest. And so we want to net some of those collegians, some of those young professionals, and just start giving them some foundations of spiritual leadership, of what it means to have this biblical lens for why God has them on planet Earth, against the backdrop of all the culture that's telling them they're here otherwise. So we're going to start that. This summer it's going to be 2 mornings a week. It'll be 6 to 7:30. It'll be a little teaching time and small group breakout time. And then there's going to be one evening commitment where it's going to be spiritual formation based, where there's going to be book discussions that they're going to have over a meal and praying for one another and accountability with one another. And then there's going to be all kinds of experiences and opportunities, some urban ministry exposure opportunities this summer. There's going to be some leadership exercises that we're going to walk them through. There's going to be some backpacking and hiking trips and things like that, all to try to just take a core of these folks and be intentional with them as we move forward. So that's going to be one opportunity. And I'd also say, just to plug for that, There's some of y'all that would love to be even small group leaders in this beta test for 5 weeks. Starts in, when does it start? Starts in early July and runs through early August. So the beginning of July to beginning of August. So that's one opportunity. And then there's residency. Of course, you guys know about residency. We've heard some of the feedback, some of what you even shared today, going, yeah, there's some content improvements that I think we'd love to make. But I think the thing for me about residency that's always been on my heart, I realize this is different. This is not a life group, okay? This is not just your classic small group picture of spiritual formation. This is a really intensive program. But my fear is that on a bad day, residency just becomes this glorified Bible study. And after 11 years of the well doing this, out of 22 years of Denton Bible Church was it doing it, out of launching it at the Village when I was there, and then now seeing the last 3 years of doing it, my question in assessing all those that I've walked with is, what are they doing? What is that test of life? Were they prepared to go make disciples, or do they just know their Bible a little better? You know? And so my fear is, how do we process this? And I hear that quite often is, where's the processing? I mean, it's like drinking from a fire hose, right? Come in at 6 a.m., we're on the money, we go to 7:30, and then bam, see you next week, come back. And it's just constant. And so we're going to add a couple of components next year to residency to try to do a little bit better job of equipping and talking about how the gospel applies to all this that we're walking through. So, some of y'all are going to find relief over this, but some of y'all may not. But next year, we're adding a day. We're going to go to 5 days. Like, oh, good gosh. Thank God that was the last year I did this. We're going to go to 5 days, Monday through Friday. Monday and Tuesday are going to continue to be New Testament exposition with more intentional infused systematic theology. Thursday and Friday are going to continue to be Old Testament exposition with more intentional infused systematic theology. Wednesday is going to be the different day. In the fall semester, we're going to devote most of that semester on Wednesday to biblical manhood and womanhood. I think one of the most neglected aspects of young women and young men today is understanding God's design of who they are. Yeah. Is it there? In some of Mike's teaching in Genesis, 2 and 3, sure. Is it there when we get to depravity and all these things in Romans? Yeah. But to be able to drill down and to separate this room, to have two different rooms on Wednesday where we're going to pour men into one room, we're going to pour women in another room. I've got Melissa Denisi helping me prime at the pump right now for biblical womanhood. Melissa Denisi, if you don't know her, is, man, just a gem here at the Well, man, loves training women in the Word of God. She's being even mentored even by Patty Crone over at Trinity. And so her heart's it, whether it's her or whether it's she's going to help me raise up to focus in on that, on biblical womanhood. And then we're going to focus on our other side on biblical manhood and a chance to really process through these things. These will be part of the morning teaching and then part of the morning and breaking into some groups to help really wrestle with what this means. That's going to be a bulk of the fall semester. The spring semester, I'm bringing in Dave Obald, who's on staff, and we're going to talk about the significance and importance of biblical counseling and how to understand, articulate, and apply the gospel to the brokenness of humanity. So all this stuff that we're studying, how do I engage it with the guy who's walking through cancer? How do I engage it with a family? I'm doing a funeral at 11 this morning for a kid that took his life this past week. And how does the gospel apply in the ashes of pain to a family that is literally lacing and pouring guilt and shame over themselves? They're the reason he did it. And how does the gospel speak there? And first, before we even go to other people's lives, how does it apply in my life? The brokenness of my own life. And Dave heads up for us a deal called Regeneration Groups. Here at the Well, and he's going to essentially take the spring semester and do a mini crash course in that. And we're going to, there'll be a teaching component with everybody in the room, and then it's going to be broken up into small groups to begin processing and identifying and learning to counsel one another in those those smaller groups that are going to be there. So that's going to be a big part. That's where, so that's a one added element. There's a number of other things we're working through and thinking through right now to make that more robust, but want to see this more spiritually forming and lend itself to really some hands-on that I really have some skill sets to know how to leave this room and go actively and intentionally engage all that I've been learning in the lives of others that are out there. So, and that piece of that is going to be learning how to teach one another and pray with one another. So that's a few things just to be aware of. That's where residency is going. And if you love residency, if you want to invite others in, you can do that. Applications are going on right now. And then the big piece for me is how are we sending people out? And that's where we're going to focus on a sending program. And specifically four lanes that we're going to drill down on. And again, this goes narrow and narrower as you get through. And in the sending program, we're going to focus on four things: church planters, missionaries, church parachurch staff, and marketplace professionals. And how can we begin to identify, recruit, train, and then send as a church folks into these various mission fields that are right around us and in front of us? And we're going to focus on three dimensions in each of these. You know, simplistically put, it'll be more theologically articulated, but your heart, your hands, and your head. What are the things we want you to know? What are the things you want you to effectively engage in? And what are the things that we need to work on applying? And so part of these are going to be core curriculums that can last. It's basically going to be an internship that can last anywhere from a year to 3 years. And there's some core things. And so that may involve, for some, an educational component. So maybe some of these are core components are going to be going through academy or going through perspectives. It may be going through residency. It may be seminary scholarships. There may be an educational component that's there. There's going to be a hands-on experience paired up in the church. And then, again, our goal is that these would be purposely, intentionally sent out, commissioned by the church and walking with. And so we want to help pour into as many as we can. And so we got a lot of things we're dreaming for that. I'm going to officially, unashamedly pitch to our church to get behind and help fund so we can have resources to come full on. One of my goals is to have housing within the next year as we have potential church planters that want to launch out who've got families and kids and figure out how am I going to do insurance and how am I going to get and all these things and have some stuff that's just taken care of so that we can spend time really investing in, pouring in, walking with, training, pairing up with other pastors, cohorts from other pastors in the city, some of y'all that might be in this room, ain't dropping names, and then how can we equip, train, and send out? So that's a 30,000 foot view, but some of the places where we're wanting to head here starting this fall. But for specifically residency, these are some stakes in the game that I'm going to be able to give 100% of my juice for moving forward. So any questions? Cool. I have enjoyed walking with you guys. I've said it before. I told Brad this. This is really one of my favorite things that I do. I'll be honest with you. I just put my card. I don't know that I admit this to the congregation. Maybe I would. I far more enjoy teaching this than I do on Sundays. Sundays, there's just this weird, I don't know what it is, man. It's just this weird performance pressure in the Western church. Yeah. It's got to be in this time frame. Got to have these slick opening illustration. Got to have this key takeaway. And I'm just like, I just want to open the Word of God and go. Holy Spirit below. All right? That's all I want to do. And so I so enjoy doing this with you guys. I've so enjoyed walking with you, and I would just love to make myself available as a resource for you if you ever need anything moving forward. I'm not just a teacher, I'd love to be a shepherd in this as well, and then I would love updates. I'd love just to hear what God's doing with you. You know, hunt me down. You know, let me know 20 years from now what God's doing, man, and how we're locking arms together as His church to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that Christ commanded, knowing that God, Jesus Christ, is with us to the end of the age. Yes, right? I love you guys. I'm going to pray for us. Anything else before we get out of here? Graduation? Y'all coming? Is in what, 2 weeks? Campania, right? Have you been given instructions on that?
Can we bring a friend?
I don't think so. Because I think it's, I think we don't have the money for that. I don't know. Ask Jared. He's planning it.
I asked last week, he said no.
No. All right, there's your answer. No friend. No special friends. Now, your special friend can do residency next year. Okay. Let me pray for you real quick. You mind?
We want to thank you, though.
Yes, thank you.
We want to thank you, and you deserve a standing ovation, man.
Oh, no, brother, please. Y'all just.
As a matter of fact, I'll do that.
No. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Y'all stand up. I'm going to do what every angel does to every person. I'm going to tell you, get on your face and worship him, all right? So, all right. I appreciate y'all, though, man.
God bless you, sir.
Good. Appreciate
you. God keep you. And may you always get what God wants you to have. Because what God wants you to have is will always be what's best for you.
Amen.
It'll always be better than what you think you need, and it'll always be better than what you think you deserve.
True words.
In Jesus' name, amen.
True words. Pray. Father, we bless your name. We love you. You are so good. And in your sovereignty, in your holiness, your perfect righteousness, your perfect justice, your justified wrath for the sake of your own righteousness, yet you have poured out your mercy and grace to us. You have covered us with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. You have atoned for our sins. You have staved off your own righteous wrath. Your Son absorbed it for us. And God, we are eternally grateful. And we recognize this class really is, it is a mean to a greater end. Our hope, Lord, we want to know you. We want to walk with you. We want to abide with you. And God, we want to make you known. We want to declare your glory to the nations. And so, Father, I pray that our time, I trust that our time in your word this year was not in vain, that it will not return void, that Holy Spirit, you will use this to empower each and every one of these individuals to go make much of you amidst a broken and fallen world. And Father, I thank you for the personally, just for the time to walk with these individuals, to get to know many of them, and to be mutually encouraged by them. And I pray that you would take these resources and God, you would multiply them. Take the little fish and the little loaves that have been given here this year and you would multiply them to feed the multitudes. And God, we're grateful that we can have a privilege like this. I just pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just keep it to ourselves, that like the lepers in 2 Kings, that we might take this bounty that we have received and we might go give it away to a starving people. So use us, God, for your glory. Don't let us be like the Dead Sea, God. Don't let it end right here. Let this simply be a catalyst. I pray may it never be that one student in this room looks back on this time and with the description that was the best season of my life. May this just simply be the launch into better seasons of obedience and faithfulness to you and a humble dependence upon you. And God, that you might do more than we could ever ask or imagine for your name's sake. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Sir, love you.